Today, I want to talk about spontaneity. And this is a bit of a random subject to do, but I really felt pressed recently to just spontaneously do this. Okay? So we're going to do it. What I want you to do today, while I've got you for the next half an hour before we go and enjoy the sunshine and do whatever it is you do in the sun, I want you to take a look at your daily routine, what you do day to day, the main ingredients, and I want you to ask yourself, does it fulfill me? Does it fulfill me? And either yes or no, I want you to ask the question, why? What is the reason why my day to day brings me to life? Like I'm just living for my purpose and with a purpose, and I'm hitting that level of potential. Or on the opposite side, why do I feel lackluster? Why does it feel like there's something grating or missing? Today, I want to talk to you about the special in the spontaneous. The special in the spontaneous. I'm at a stage in life now where I'm going gray, or silver fox, as they say now. So it's weird because some men go bald, some men go gray, but a miracle is happening. Both is happening to me simultaneously. I'm receding here, which is a phenomenal pace, and it's just going gray. So the hair that I do have is very old, and my scalp is wondering, what's going on? Where did all my shade go? You know when you're getting balder, when you run out of sun lotion faster, because somehow you've got to now cover around your whole head. Rather than just your facial area. But I'm now at a point in my life where there's so much going on, there's so much demand, being the campus leader here under Dave and Helen, senior leaders, in being a dad, in being a husband. There's so much demand, and I'm sure you can sort of empathize with me a little bit because your life can be the same. And there's so much demand, and it just seems like often my days are so rigid. You know, the kids go to bed at a certain time and then we party, you know, or not. We just have some McVitie's and watch, you know, TV. They get up at a certain time. I shower regularly. You know, that's something that's required to do, not just by my wife, but just by just good common sense. And I go to work. So I go to work. There's a lunchtime and then I come home. Then we have tea together and then it's bedtime. Then it's McVitie's. Then it's, you know, it's... There's a habitualness to life. And it's often the case that I've found recently that the demands that are on me often overtake what's really meaningful about my life. Just doing the jobs that you need to do to keep on top of the house or keep on top of the work or keep on top of relationships. And it's so easy for us to lose the spontaneity in life because we are so fixed on just what we're trying to do, the time we're trying to make to just make it all happen. And today I want to show you a story in the Bible that happened directly to Jesus. And I want to pull out a couple of things that might help you apply something this week so that you can become the person that God needs you to be in your family, in your workplace, in your leisure spaces, wherever you are. So we're going to turn together to a book in the Bible called Luke. And the book of Luke is written by Clive, that's right. Clive wrote the book of Luke, well done. No, it's written by a guy called Luke. And so if you have your Bible, I'm going to turn there in my Bible too. I'm going to get it out of my phone, which means that I'm only sort of a Christian if I don't have it in paper format. Okay, so we're in Luke chapter 8, verses 40, if you turn in there. I want to give you a minute to do that. Okay, it'll be on screen if you don't have your Bible with you today. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Now, when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, and falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was that that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, Master, the crowd surrounds you and are pressing in on you. But Jesus said, no, no, someone touch me, for I perceive the power has gone out from me. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. You know, it's really important that when you read those stories, you don't read them like stories. You read them as someone's story. That actually happened. Let's just wake up a minute, okay? So when we read something in the Bible, we read it and we go, wow, God, you're amazing. That actually happened. You know, we don't read it like a Twitter feed or fake news. This woman had such an issue, an awful issue for 12 years. And then in one moment where she reached to Jesus, she was healed. I mean, come on, somebody, that's amazing. When we read the Bible, it's truth. Come on. So when we read it, we don't think, oh, that's a lovely story, isn't it? That's wonderful. I feel great about myself now. No, 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 no. That actually happened. And guess what? I'll tell you a secret. Don't tell anyone. Don't Instagram it, okay? Don't tell anyone. Jesus is still healing people today. Because Jesus and God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's just the same. So if you were to write a book, or if we were to write a book together in the Bible called the Book of Wigan, come on, somebody, Holy Communion with pies and mushy peas to drink. Oh, that's awful. Why did I just say that? So they'd be filled with stories of breakthrough from when we reached to Jesus and he healed us and restored us and moved us on. And so when we read this story, we understand that for this woman, this was hell. She was in living hell for 12 years. And I love how Luke writes this, because Luke would have talked to Peter, and he may have met with Jairus, and he may have met with this woman, I don't know. But in chatting to Peter and writing this story, I can't help but think Luke is writing this in a sense of anticipation, because he said that she spent all her money on physicians and no one could heal her. Nothing could heal her, but the language Luke uses is so cool, because it's like no one could heal her apart from Jesus. I love that. There's something, a little bit of depth for you. Okay, so let's walk through this. And I want to go through this story. I want to pull out this stuff. And then I want to enjoy some good time together later on. Verse 1. Pro guys, if you can put it back on the screen. So we go, verse 40. Luke chapter 8, verse 40 says this. Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. This woman was waiting for Jesus. Okay, so she knew that he was going to walk through the town because someone had told her or whatever. And, that, you know, he's going to Jairus' house and he's going through this part of town. And so the crowd was there. She was waiting for him. But yet, in a moment, she just decided that she was going to grasp at Jesus in order to find that healing. But she planned it. So she was spontaneous, because she was like, I've just got to stretch, but she planned it. She had to fight her way through the crowd, you know, getting people's face like, move out of the way, please, move out of the way, please, and get through. And in a moment of spontaneity that was planned, how does that work? You can plan spontaneity. She found the healing that she needed. So here's the deal. She'd spent all her money, the physicians. She still had, and by the way, I love this, the guy who's writing this book is also a physician. He's also someone who's in medicine. So he's like, whoa, 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 I've heard this story. I have got to include it in this, because I've treated patients like this and it didn't work out. But yet one moment with Jesus changed it all. So even though I'm a doctor, I can still point her to Jesus, point people to Jesus because of a story. And I love it that he includes this, because Luke knows that this woman had a very rhythmic life. She'd wake up every day, probably at the same time, go to the temple, pray, do all that kind of stuff. You know, you made a way, you know, all that stuff they used to sing. And she had a pattern about her life. But today was different, because she planned to be spontaneous. She planned that today would be a different day, because I'm going to capture a moment that I've never captured before. This Jesus is walking by me, so I need to make every effort to try and reach out to that. because nothing else is working. But isn't it weird that you can plan spontaneity? Isn't that strange? And it sounds like I'm saying that no routine is good. But I'm saying the opposite, that routine is very good. In fact, the less that you control your diary, the more someone else controls it for you. Because if you want to be this leader, if you want to be this great individual, if you want to be great in your career or in your family, who knows? You've got to budget your time. You've got to give your time to the right stuff. You can't let anything hijack you. Your time is too precious. And so routine is good. But what I'm saying is we can never sacrifice the mission and the purpose for our life on just the monotonous day-to-day, doing the grind, doing the hustle, as Live Free would say, thank you, just hustling my way through life, just working through it. We must always plan for spontaneity. There's a difference between spontaneity and impulse. I feel that in life there's two things. There's either you're impulsive or you find interruptions. You see, spontaneity is a positive thing. You know, walking down, having a nice walk with your friend and you just push them in canal. Spontaneous, it's brilliant. Go for it, have fun. See you in the canal later. It's a positive thing, it's a fun thing. But I don't know about you, I don't know if you're impulsive or not. But man, when I'm impulsive, it just makes me put on weight. Know what I'm saying? Never go to Lidl when you're hungry and do a shot because you come back with so many 39p chocolate bars, it's crazy. Impulsivity, impulsivity makes you put on weight. It makes you do things you regret because in the moment you're just like, oh, I've just got to do it. I've just got to satisfy this little need. I've just got to do it. Spontaneity is different. When me and Han first got married, it was fun back then. I'm joking. Me and Han always do this thing in our family, because we have kids now, so it's even more fun, where you can do random things, and then you can film them doing random things, and then kind of like bribe them later in life, do you know what I mean? Like, be home at this time, or else I'm going to show your friends this, when you were dancing to Bare Necessities with no clothes on. And that isn't me, by the way, that's my children. It would be inappropriate to say that. But I love it because when we first got married, we first got a house, you get your house together when you first get married, and it's great. It's awesome. It's great for the first week until you realize, whoa, someone's got to clean it. You know what I mean? And so we used to play this game, or I did anyway, where I used to hide around the house. And so when Han used to walk in, the house was silent, but she knew I was there. Where was I? Nobody knew. And so she'd walk around the house and she'd walk in, she'd go, hi, babe. Babe. And she knew it was on. The game was afoot. And so she walked in, she'd be like, babe. And when she was in a really, really, you know, like happy mood, she'd be like, babe, are you here? Like that. And when she was a little bit scared, if it was a bit darker, she'd go, Benny. All the power. And so she used to stumble around the house, kicking things over, thinking, where's my husband? Is he under the couch? Where is he? I remember just hiding in random places, under the stairs, behind doors, duct tape myself to the ceiling, just looking down as she walked in. Kaka! You know. Benny, the power. And we still do that today. But for me, that spontaneity. Man, spontaneity is so good in your family. Listen, mate, if you've got kids and you've got a partner, don't be boring at home. Please don't be boring at home. Don't go home, turn an ITV and think, right, that's me done for the day. No, your work's just beginning. Because your kids and your wife need you to be on your game. You know, sometimes I get home and I'm just not present. I'm present, but I'm not present. Sometimes I'm back at work where I'm thinking, oh, an email's just popped up on my phone. And I have to, is it okay if we just go reality? Is it okay if we just talk about this? And sometimes I just need to say, no, I need to just stop because the most important people in my life need me to be present with them. And it's a perfect way to be spontaneous. Thank you, that's great. We need to be spontaneous. And so we do fun things all the time, but we're aware of it. We're looking for chances to make each other laugh and create good moments. It's not like it's just impulsive. I mean, sometimes it is. And never push your wife in a canal. That does not go down well. But just being composed is great because you're aware at any moment in time you can drop something that can really create a special moment. So that's not being impulsive. Being impulsive is having the last cookie when you know you shouldn't do it. Having the last drink when you know you shouldn't do it. It's the impulsivity of just our, it's called the nature of man. We do that. So I'm not talking about being impulsive, okay? What I love in this story is that you read it and you think, wow, God interrupts this woman's life. Jesus walks in, but God didn't interrupt her life at all. She interrupted his life. Because you look at it, and so she's pushing through the crowd. She's pushing through the crowd, trying to get to him, and touches him. And he said, someone touch me. And Peter's like, mate, there's like hundreds of people here. Everyone's touching you. I've got your wallet. Don't worry, it's okay. We're going to Skem next. We're going to need to up the ante for security. Sorry if you're from Skemmersdale. Sorry, not sorry, I guess. Give me my wallet back, by the way. She's pressing in, she's grabbing at him, and then it stops him in his tracks. He stops and says, something just happened. Man, I would love to stop Jesus once in a while. I would love to see an opportunity in a moment of spontaneity and do something that makes him stop and go, whoa, what just happened? What just happened? I felt something. I look, Jesus' words are great. He says, I felt the power leave me. Wow, that's some theology there, my friend. I felt the power leave me. What does that mean? That means there's power in Jesus. And so we can do all these different things. We can self-medicate. We can go to the places that we go. But ultimately, until we go to Jesus, we don't find the power we need in order to do the things we need to do and be the person we need to be. Someone touch me. Ain't nobody got time for that. Who touched me? Can't touch this. No, definitely not doing the dance. No chance. Dave and Helen will get a lot of letters and people would leave the church community if I started doing that dance. So, there was an interruption in Jesus' life. And she caused it in a moment of planned spontaneity. She decided today was going to be different, and here's my moment. I'm going to do it. Here's a cool little fact for you. What did she touch? He touched the fringe of his garment, or the hem of his garment, if you're a bit more holier and read older versions of the Bible, the hem of his garment. And it was cool because when you read the New Testament, when you read the Bible, you've got to look at different layers. You see, the garment he was wearing would have been this prayer shawl, okay? And it would have been kind of longish. And on the bottom of this prayer shawl, which was the fashion of the day, and it meant a lot, they would have these little tassels on it. And it's called tzitzit tzitzit. Everyone say tzitzit tzitzit. Thank you. It's called tzitzit tzitzit. And she would have touched that hem. And what these tassels represented, there were 600 and odd tassels on this thing. Poor person who had to sew that together. Wow. So she would have touched one of these things, and each tassel represented a law. How strange is that? It represented a law in Jesus' day. You know, thou shalt not kill. You know, that's an obvious one. Thou shalt not do this, that, and the other. Well, there were 600 in Jesus' day. And she would have touched either one or two of those tassels. But this is the deal. There are two things in life. We can live right and do everything that we can to be perfect human beings, or we can accept our humanity and work towards, through Christ, becoming a righteous person. So what this woman did, she touches the law. She touches all the things that represents, but the law didn't have the power to heal her. It was Jesus that healed her. So we can't work toward perfection because we're never going to be perfect. But what we can do is we can reach out to the one who is perfect and in that moment receive that healing. And I love that the law is, this shawl is wrapped around Jesus. that Jesus isn't opposed to this good way of living, to standards, to morals, to ethics. No, no, no. No, the law and ethic and morals are all hung around Jesus' shoulders because he fulfills the law. So we can be great people, we can live like Jesus, but it is all wrapped around the Son of God who epitomizes what life means to live. And this woman reached out, and in a moment of power from Jesus, she got healed. And I think God not only wants to interrupt you, I think he's trying all the time. I think there's opportunities all the time for you to just do something great, do something that is planned spontaneously. And I think it's up to us to understand and see when we are being interrupted. I've got a friend who works in a clothes shop in the Grand Arcade. And I plan spontaneity all the time. So I carry this awareness that God could interrupt me at any point in time. And I can just speak encouragement, speak direction, help, do whatever it is I feel that God wants me to do in that moment. That's part of why the Holy Spirit is in me, because he guides me, is what we've been looking at over the last few weeks. So I've been just building a friendship with him. And so, you know, he gave me his Instagram, so I started following him on Instagram, and because that's what the kids do these days. They don't swap numbers, they swap social media accounts, you know. And so I follow him, he follows me, whatever that means. And so we've just been building up a friendship. It's been about a few months. And this week I just popped in to see him, actually, on my way to pick up my bike to come back to the office. And I always walk past, I always see him, and if he's in, I'll go in for a quick chat. And just this week, this last week, he told me, oh, I'm actually going for a job interview with someone else in Manchester. So he starts telling me about this stuff, and I'm like, mate, do you mind if I just, while I'm praying this week, can I just include you in those prayers? And he said, oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. He doesn't know what he believes, but he knows that there's a guy out there who believes something and he's willing to invest. And so I didn't do it then and there, but I prayed for him through the week. I was like, God, give him a great interview. He's really nervous. He's got to do this presentation about retail globalization. I've got 10 GCSEs, me. And so he's got to do this presentation. So anyway, I'm talking to him. And then I come back the next week as I'm just stumbling through back to my bike again. And he's in the shop again. So I go in and said, how'd it go? He said, oh, it went great. Went really well, really positive. Thanks. He said, thanks for praying for me. Notice the interruption. It didn't fall on the floor. Nothing happened like that. But there was something deeper and significant going on in his life, where he's another piece saying, man, maybe God is real. Because that guy thinks he's real. So me, I like that guy. He might be right. And on the back of that, I was able to say, like, oh, I'm doing this because I call it a speech. Because to non-Christians, it's like, oh, you're preaching. Oh, what's that about? You're only on the front of Daily Mail, you know. No, I'm doing a message. I'm doing a speech. I said, oh, I'm doing a speech on Sunday about this, this, and this. He said, oh, that's really good. Yeah, I might listen to that. And I thought, come on. Come on. Is it that easy? Is it that easy? Where am I? Spontaneous, right? Sorry. I love that this woman reached out to Jesus, and how I'm reaching out just in little ways to what God's doing. You need a reach in your routine every day. In routine, just as you do in day to day, just whatever you're doing, there has to be an element where you are reaching out to Jesus, where you're reaching out for moments and interruptions, and you're figuring this out, and you're like, okay, God, what are you doing? Where can I get on the back of? I don't need to create something new. You're already doing it. You've got to have a reach in your routine for you to find fulfillment. And that's planned spontaneity. And that's the specialness in it. That there is a reach, there is an understanding, there is an awareness. And I believe this, that there's maybe a couple of people that wandered in today who, as I'm speaking, you're starting to realize, whoa, God has been doing stuff this week in my life, or these last few weeks. Something's been going on, and I'm starting to recognize now that maybe God is interrupting me. Respond with a reach. Respond in a moment where you reach out to God every day. Prayer, reflection, study, deep conversations. That's a great one. Just as you chat to your friends, just go deeper, just about what's going on in your mind and in your heart and what's going on in your life. That's great. God really works through that. Reaching moments in our routine. It's too easy to satisfy something that gratifies you instantly. It's too easy. And so when we talk about being spontaneous, sometimes you just have to plan for that in your life. So here's a really practical one, okay? You need to save in order to be spontaneous. Or you need to be a good steward in order to be spontaneous. Like I would love in my finances to just give. But the reality is I've only got so much coming in and I've got to steward that. But I tell you, when I save and when I steward, I can give from the money that I have been a good steward of and I can be spontaneous. It's almost like when you sort of retire and you get your pension pot and there it comes, the big fat check of 59p and you're like, awesome, save for 50 years for this. It's like that you have to save so that you can be spontaneous. You can give that away. You can go traveling. You can do what you need to do. So if you've not got a pension, let's be really, really life applicable. Get a pension. Get an ISA. Start saving so that in time you are able to invest it in people. You are able to give it away. You're able to hear God and God will say, hey, mate, do you know that you've put aside for that? Man, they need that right now. You don't know the situation, but they need that. So go and give it to them. You're like, I've got it. I've got it to give, and it's theirs. Plan spontaneity. You need to save in order to be spontaneous. Because the reality is this. There's something special in the spontaneous. There's something special when you're like, hey, mate, can I just pray for you this week just in what's going on? There's something special in that. There's something special in Benny, you know. There's something special in the moments that you create that people remember for the rest of their life, not just the monotonous grind of the day to day. If you don't know what's priority to you, people will decide that for you. You need to decide what is priority to you and put that into whatever it is your day looks like, whether that's exercise, time with God, prayer, time spent with a partner, spouse, or friend, because that's what's meaningful and that's what's fulfilling. And if you don't do it, other people will do it for you. Some lads in here today have been just circling work, and you go home and all you're thinking about is work, and you know, people go to bed and then you're still up thinking about work, and you just need to just break it. You need to write down what's priority to you. You need to ask God, God, what should be my priority? What are you trying to interrupt my life? And you need to get a diary and put it in your diary. This woman woke up and she decided to be spontaneous. I will be there at that time, ahead of the crowd. He will probably walk in this direction. I will push through the crowd, and I will touch the fringe of his garment. Wow. I mean, I'd love to have been there anyway. But how intentional can we be this week in being spontaneous? How aware can we be? Okay. Right, the band can come up now. We're gonna sing in just a minute, and I just want to finish saying this. Let me ask you a question. Am I being spontaneous enough with the God things and the good things? Am I being spontaneous enough in the God things and the good things? Sometimes it's just a good thing to do something. Sometimes it's a good thing to just have in your everyday life. And other times, there are God things that He creates in your life. What are you doing with the good things and the God things in your life? So you can let others define and determine, and we can run from crisis to crisis, but are we planning enough spontaneity in the day so that we can respond to God's interruptions and one day interrupt God? I want to read you this. Last thing here. John C. Maxwell, great leadership guru, says that you'll never change your life until you change something you do daily. You'll never change your life until you change something that you do daily. It's got to be something, a 1 degree shift. It's got to be something that is planned spontaneity. And if you do that every day, imagine the stories that stock up and stack up. Wow, God's so good. Why don't you stand to your feet? If you're able to stand, join with me just as I bring a closing thought. Then we can move on. I'm just going to turn to another bit in the Bible, which is Isaiah. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you sent your Son. Oh, thank you, God, that you had planned spontaneity, that you were spontaneous, but you knew from the beginning that you were going to send your Son. Send your Son to die for us on a cross so that we need not be punished for all the things that we do wrong and that separate us from you. And you knew that he would rise from the dead 3 days later, conquering death, meaning that we too can conquer and overcome anything that stands in our way between us and true life. Thank you, Lord, that you planned it from the beginning. That in the beginning was the Word. And Jesus was with you the whole time. And thank you that in one moment you decide that it's time. I'm going to send him now. There's a defining moment in this story. Because how many times do you think people touched Jesus? Probably a lot. There was hundreds of people there. You probably got it all the time. But what made it unique for this one woman? Someone touched me. Someone touched me. Peter's like, everyone's touching you. Don't be crazy. I touch you. He's like, no, someone touched me. But it was in a way that no one else was doing it. And it tells us why. Because Jesus said, the last line, if you remember it, said this, go in peace, your faith has made you well. Man, we need to protect our faith. Never abandon your faith. Never let your faith diminish or go to the bottom of your priority list. Keep it up front and center. Why? Because it is your faith that makes you well. In the Old Testament, way, way before Jesus, there's a guy called Isaiah. He's a great guy. And he talks a lot about Jesus. He talks about God in such poetic words because that's what Isaiah is. It's a poetry book. And so he writes a lot. And something that Jesus said, he said that, remember when we talked about the power going from him? He talks about, no, there was a power drain from me. I felt it. This is what Isaiah says about God. This is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. It says this, he gives power to the faint. Love that. Gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Oh, Father, we pray for increased strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Wow. Come on, somebody. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. My God, he's so good. That when we wait on him, he renews our strength. I can watch Netflix. I can get obsessed with Love Island for the next 3 weeks. Or I could walk around with awareness that God is in me and he is my source. And it's an encouragement to you today that the power that we need every day to live life well, to overcome the issues and recognize the interruptions, it all comes from Jesus. It all comes when we reach in our routine and we decide that my life is more than emails. And my life is more than just this street or this scenario or this issue. My life is more than that.